Good morning. It's good to see you out this morning, and today I'll begin with a question. Now don't worry, there is no right or wrong answer to this question, and you don't have to raise your hand and even give an answer. You can just think about it a little bit. Has your faith ever been tested? I mean, really tested. Shaken to the point that you wonder how God will work. You wonder when God will work, and you might even wonder if God will work. Has your faith ever been shaken to that point? When you look around and you see no possible way to be blessed, you look around and you think, I can't do anything to help myself at all. Well, this morning we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to look at three, I guess you say they are young men at this point, who had faith in God and whose faith was tested. I'm going to give you an illustration this morning to get us into this message and in this introduction. Back in 1945, July 30th, 1945, on that night, the USS Indianapolis was sitting out in the Pacific. It was a cruiser, from my understanding, and they had no concern at that point. They were told that there were no problems, no enemy within range. And so they were basically cruising to their next destination, thought everything was fine. Well, there happened to be a submarine, an enemy submarine, Japanese submarine out there, and they were unaware of it, and it hit them, torpedoed them. Within 15 minutes, the ship was underwater. Just a terrible tragedy. There were more than 1,000 men on board, and of those 1,000 men, 317 ended up surviving. I was reading an account of one of the survivors. His name was Edgar Harrell. He was a Marine on that ship that night. And he basically said that he went out into the waters, and he said in the first time in his entire life he felt hopeless. Sitting out in the Pacific as the sun came up that next day with nothing on but a life preserver, he said he began to look around to see if there was anybody that he could recognize that was still alive. He said he saw nothing but carnage and just water everywhere he looked. Anyway, on that first day, he said the first verse that came to his mind, and he was a Christian, born-again Christian, he said was Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said as the hours went on, a second verse came to his mind as he sat out there in the Pacific. And of course, by this time, he'd starting to locate other survivors that were sitting out there. And by the way, they would stay out there for about 4 days and nights until they were rescued. But at the time when they were out there on that first day, he said in their minds, as they talked to one another, they tried to convince each other that they would be rescued because they didn't know if they would or not, sitting out there in the middle of the ocean. He said the second verse that came to mind was, the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He said over the next several days he would just quote scriptures, remember scriptures, and think on God's word. Here's what he said years later. He said, it was indeed God's word that I repeated over and over throughout those days and nights. He said, bringing me comfort, hope, and confidence. That was a man who, I guarantee you this, his faith was tested out in those waters, wondering what his future held, wondering how God would work in his life. This morning, we're going to look at three other men who may not have faced that exact same trial, but whose faith was also tested, and they looked to God as well. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read one verse there, and then we're going to be in the book of Daniel chapter 3, but Hebrews chapter 11, and it says there in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Notice what the next verse says, quenched the violence of fire. And then it goes on to tell us a few more events that took place. But quenched the violence of fire. I don't know about you, but the first ones that come to my mind are three Jewish young men living in Babylon who were placed in that fiery furnace, put their faith in God, and were blessed. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Please bless us as we go further in this message. I pray that you'll challenge our faith, encourage our faith, help us to not only remain faithful, but to stand strong for you. We pray that you'll open up our eyes and our hearts to your word today and our ears. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about faith to take a stand. Faith to take a stand. You see, these three men, as we'll see here in a minute, were able to live by faith even though it was tested, and they were able to take a stand by faith because they looked to the Lord. They put their faith in God. They trusted the Lord, and they focused on Him instead of their situation, instead of their hardship, and they believed that the Lord would bless. Now, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to look at this chapter. Now, this morning, our subject is faith. So we're not going to break down every verse. I'm not going to do an expository message on each verse one by one. Instead, I want us to notice their faith. That's what we're looking at, because that goes into our series, Faith for the Journey, from Hebrews 11 there. And beginning in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 3, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, governors, so forth, it says there, gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now, you talk about a test of faith this morning. We're going to see that these men took a stand for God. And I want you to notice, they took three stands in this chapter. The first one is they had faith to stand before this idol, this false image that had been erected so people could fall down and worship and bow down and praise and honor. These three men, as we'll see here in a little bit, refused to bow down and worship this idol. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, that's who built this, and that's who placed this out there, and that's who ordered these men to worship. The Bible tells us that this man here at this point, I believe, was still an unbeliever, had no desire after God as far as seeking Him or His will. And the Bible tells us he was a typical conqueror. History also tells us that. You know, it's interesting in history, we have several inscriptions concerning his building and all his projects. There are no inscriptions found concerning his battles, even though he won a lot. This was a man who was interested in building great works and being remembered for his great deeds. Many of his works were pretty much dedicated to their pagan gods and to their devotion to their false gods. You know, he was a religious man. Like many people, he was religious. And he was building personal monuments, all the while neglecting a personal relationship with the one God. Now this morning, I want to challenge you right up front at the beginning of this message. Make sure you have a personal relationship with God the Father. It doesn't matter what you do in this world. I mean, you can build all the monuments, you can have a great career, you can attain all sorts of achievements. But if you do not have a relationship with God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ, it's all for naught. When you go into eternity, it'll all be left behind when you stand before God. So make sure you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. Anyway, this man built this idol. He was going to build this image up and have the people come and worship. And the Bible tells us he summoned all his leaders, all of them, the administrators, guardians, businessmen, all the representatives of his country were called to come to the Bible tells us, the dedication of this idol or of this image. Now, what's interesting in this passage, nothing is said of worship until they arrived. I've often wondered if these men were brought in subtly as we're going to have a dedication. And then when they were arrived, they were demanded or ordered to fall down and worship. And so that's why I believe those three young men were there that day. I imagine they thought it was no different than any other dedication. You know, even in our nation today, we have all sorts of memorials set up, and there's nothing wrong with those. As long as we don't worship any of those in place of God. But there's nothing wrong with having memorials and dedicating things. And perhaps these men thought that's what was going to take place. They arrive. And the Bible tells us that suddenly they heard a herald proclaim that when the music would start, they were to fall down and worship that idol. Now, you talk about testing your faith. And they were also given an ultimatum. If they didn't fall down and worship, they would be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. What would you do this morning? Think about it for a minute. Put yourself in their position. What would you do? Now, these were three young leaders, by the way. They're no longer young boys. I imagine they were in their careers. They were leaders in the nation of Babylon. They were successful. And here they're challenged with their faith. You know what? You think about this. They were surprised. I guarantee it. They were surprised. But because of their faith in God, they remained unshaken. You know, this morning, let that sink in a little bit. You're going to be surprised in life. You might be surprised this afternoon. Something may happen. You may get a call. But if you have faith in God, you'll be able to get through it without being shaken and without falling apart. The key is looking to God, abiding with Christ, so that when the trials do come into your life, you're ready and you're prepared to go through them with God. Now, I've wondered if these men were standing together. They were good friends. They all came from Israel with Daniel himself. By the way, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or if you go by their given names, which I like to do, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And some say, well, why do you like to do that? You know, it really wasn't until I had three boys. And I thought about it. There's no way I'd want a pagan king to change the names of my boys. Especially if he's changing them to follow after some pagan, ungodless king. And that's what happened to these young men. So we'll refer to them Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, I know it's also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But think about this. These young men, instead of being shaken, remained faithful. Now, I wondered if they were together that day. Could you imagine? They're looking at each other saying, we can't do this. Fall down and worship this false god? We can't do this. This isn't right. This isn't correct. I've also wondered if they were by themselves. Maybe they didn't meet each other right away. Maybe they were standing separately. Now, if that was the case, then definitely they trusted in God alone, 100%. But the Bible tells us that they did not panic. And they remained faithful. I read where one man said this, and I thought it was good. He says, it's ironic. It's an ironic habit of human beings to run faster when they have lost their way. You thought about that? When we get lost, we panic. And we hurry up and do things, thinking we're going to figure it out, and we hurry up and go. You know, we panic, we become confused, we become overcome. And the same can happen when we get hit with a trial. We can panic. We can get confused. We can hurry up and try to solve the problem and make some bad decisions. You know, the devil has to know this. Now, he's not all-knowing, obviously, but I'm sure he knows that human beings have the tendency to panic when they're tested or when things come into their life that they're not prepared for. And so I'm sure that he often tests us or challenges us. Now, instead of panicking, you know what these men did? They remained composed and they put their faith in God. You know, this morning, I want to challenge you to remain composed. Put your faith in God. You know, we often talk about this, but you know, one of the things that we have to deal with in our age, in our society, is just the tendency to be rushed, to hurry up and get things done, instead of being patient and waiting and willing to let God work. I was reading in a recent study that 1/3 of Americans say they're rushed all the time. How many of you feel that way? I imagine on some days they ask you that question, it's going to be, yeah, I always feel like I'm in a hurry. You know, in the 1960s, the futurists in the 1960s predicted that by now there would be one wage earner in the family only working 20 hours. Boy, did they miss that one. The surveys indicate that the average husband and wife work about 90 hours, not 20. So they were off about 350%. That's a big miss there. You see, what they thought back in the 60s, they saw things were developing, technology was moving forward, and that eventually, as technology progressed, it would lead to less, and I guess you say less work, and life would be slower. Some even predicted that we'd be bored and have nothing to do. Now, they made a mistake on that, because actually, we find out that progress in technology actually speeds things up. I think what it is we have more to do now. We have more to be responsible for, more to maintain, more to look after. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go home and throw out your television or your computer or your smartphone. I'm not encouraging that at all. But we just need to understand the situation. We live in a fast-paced culture where hasty decisions are often made. They are. We can make a quick decision and then regret it later. You know, we need to slow down and trust in the Lord. You see, decisions that are contrary to God's word, it doesn't matter if they're made quickly, it doesn't matter when they're made. Got a fly up here. The decisions that are made contrary to God's word are wrong. And when you think about this, can lead to troubles. You see, these men, you think about these men here. They chose to follow God's word or God's teaching instead of popular opinion. You say, well, what were they following? What's it say in Exodus 20? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. We find that Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. These men knew that there was one God. These men knew that they were not to bow down to any other god. They were to worship the one and only God of heaven. So when they were challenged and when they were tested, basically the Bible tells us that they took a stand by faith. Instead of running with the crowd, they lived by faith. And if you'll notice there, it says there in verse, we go back to Daniel chapter 3. It says in verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near. Verse 7. It says, therefore at that time when all the flute played. Oh no, I was right. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, these men did not bow down, king. You know, when that music began to play and you commanded everyone needs to bow down or else they'll have to go into the fiery furnace, three Jewish young men refused to bow down. Now, I've often wondered what that scene would look like from heaven. You know, as God's looking down. The only two things standing were the idol and three young Jewish men. Everyone else apparently bowed down. Everyone else fell down to worship. These three men remained by faith. Now, you talk about having your faith tested. You know, have you ever heard that? There's comfort in crowds. That's why many people will follow after the crowd, because it's comfortable. These men did that which was uncomfortable because it was God's will. They wouldn't bow down to this false image. Instead of running with the crowd, they lived by faith. I think these men had already dedicated themselves to God. You go back to Daniel 1. They had already served the Lord. They'd already been faithful, and God had already blessed. This was a test of their faith. And maybe some of you can relate this morning. You have dedicated your life to God. You want to serve the Lord. And maybe right now you're having a test of faith. Maybe there's something in your life that has come into your life that you have to just trust God. There's just no way out. You can't figure it out by yourself. You can't help yourself out, and you just need to trust in the Lord. If that's the case, learn a lesson from these men. Just put your faith in God. That leads us to our second stand that we find in this chapter, and that's beginning in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, and he goes through the whole list, he says there, worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Notice what he says here. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now they're going to stand before the king. Bible says they were immediately taken before the king. These young men were offered no time to prepare a defense or hold a prayer meeting. That's how trials often come. Immediately. You don't have time to prepare for it. You don't have time to plan it out, how you're going to address it, how you're going to handle it. The Bible says these men were taken from wherever they were, brought to stand before the king, and challenged again with their faith. Now, they could pray in their hearts. Keep that in mind. They could dedicate themselves to God. They can communicate to God in their hearts. And these young men remained faithful. You know, trials often come swiftly, so we just need to be ready. Now their faith was challenged. It wasn't a direct challenge, but it was a challenge nonetheless. Because notice, King Nebuchadnezzar looked at these young men. He says, is it true you don't serve my gods? In other words, is it true what I'm hearing? I've given you these positions of leadership. I've been kind and generous to you. And now that I want you to fall down and worship, that's it. Simple. I'm just asking you to fall down and worship. You're not going to do it. You're not going to worship my gods, the image that I have created, the image that I have done in honor. Now, I imagine Nebuchadnezzar, like a lot of worldly people, probably thought, you know, there's nothing to it. I'm not hurting you in any way. Just fall down on your knees. It's no big deal. You know, the Bible tells us that these young men were challenged. challenged with their faith. Would they worship these false gods or the false image? Or they may remain faithful to their one God, the God of heaven, the true God. You know, we know that the Babylonians had a multitude of gods. And I want to share this with you so you understand the context here or the situation. They had a multitude of gods. E. Wallace Budge is the famous archaeologist who pretty much figured out that they had at least 1,000. And then some have went even further and believe they may have had up to 3,000 false gods. They basically, if it was a god, they'd put it in one of their temples and they'd worship it in some way or in some fashion. Basically, they didn't want to offend or leave anyone out. You see, being politically correct was even big back then. It's nothing new. And that's what happened back then. Now, they believed in one main god. His name was Baal. But they didn't believe this god was almighty. And they didn't necessarily take everything to that god. Actually, history tells us that they prayed for mercy. The Babylonians would pray for mercy to the different gods that were there. And they would hope these gods would change their mind and have compassion on them. You know, out of all their gods, there was not one god that could forgive sin. That was foreign to them. All of their gods were harsh and cruel and mean. And so because of this, there is no record of them praying with repentance or a change of mind towards sin. Basically, they lived like this. They would sin and just pray for mercy. Basically, that's how life was. I tell you what, you begin to think about it. That's how a lot of religions are still today. Nothing has changed. Many of these religions offer you look into them a little bit and there's no remedy for sin. There's no forgiveness involved. There's no grace. It's just hope you do good enough deeds to get away with it. Hopefully, there'll be mercy shown to you. You see, the Bible teaches something different. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, with God there is mercy, but there's also forgiveness. There's grace involved. That God will forgive sinners that seek his forgiveness. That God will forgive those that trust in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the difference, not only between the Babylonian religion, but also many of our religions today. The work is done. The work is finished. We just need to trust in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to our passage here. Notice Daniel chapter 3 at the end of verse 15. We've read it there. He says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I imagine Nebuchadnezzar, he was a proud man. Like most leaders, he was arrogant. He thought he was in control of everything. And I imagine he thought, there's no God. We serve. We have all the gods here. And if there is another God, it has nothing over our gods. And so here he challenged not only their faith, but their God. He said, who is that God that can deliver you out of this trouble? Who's that God that can lift you from your trials and your hardships? Who's that God that can provide in your times of trouble? Who's that God you trust in? Who's that God that you have enough faith in that you're not going to bow down and take a stand? I believe at this point he thought he had him. Because he gave him another opportunity is what he did. He gave him another opportunity to bow down to his false image. You know, the Bible tells us there was no need for them to make any discussion or for any delay. It tells us that they made it very clear that they would not bow down. They didn't need another opportunity. They didn't need to hear the music again. They didn't need to be taken anywhere else. They made it very clear, we will not bow down. You know, that's faith right there. You know, when it comes to God's word, you know, there are going to be times when you're going to look and say, you know what, I don't need to discuss this. I don't need to consider this. God has said it. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to live it. And that's what we find with these three young men. It was not a matter of interpretation. It was not a matter of questioning. God had declared you worship only one God, and that's it. So they weren't going to bow down to any other gods. You know, this morning it's still the same. We're not to worship any other gods. We're not to bow down to other gods. We're not to make any graven images. Those are no-nos. The Bible has made that clear. It's not up for discussion. And we just need to be faithful to God's word and God's direction. You know, their faith was made known is what we have here. Notice it says there in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. He says there, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I tell you, this is one of the, to me, one of the greatest answers of faith you'll find in the scriptures. Notice this answer of faith. First, they made their faith known. They said, guess what? That God who you disregard, that God who you question, he will deliver us if he chooses to. That God is powerful. See, they had faith in God's power, that he could deliver them from the fire. But you know what? I want you to think on this too. They had faith in God's wisdom. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You see, they believed that God had the ability to choose his own actions. Sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, we can demand and direct God instead of seeking God and trusting in him. You see, God was not at their mercy. God was not bound to answer their prayer. God was not bound to deliver them. And they understood that, and they had faith in God's wisdom, that God would deliver them if he chose to. But if not, they said, that's fine. If not, we will still put our faith in him. Now that's faith, trusting in God. You see, God would deliver them for his glory if he would choose to. I think we find three young men who believed God controlled their destiny, and they trusted in him. If death was God's choice for them, if it was time for them to die in that fire, and it was time for them to go into eternity, I guess you could say they were fine with that. They were content with God's will and their life. That's easy to say. It really is. But it's difficult to mean it. I mean, think about that for a minute. Is that something you could say if God would say, I want you home now? Are you content with that? Are you ready for that? That's another question. If God is saying today is the day that your life will end, are you prepared? Are you ready? These men not only were prepared, but they were content with God's will in their life. You see, that's faith. Trusting God not only with his power, but also his wisdom and his ability to decide and make decisions, and trusting that God will make the correct decisions and that we will just need to follow after him. You see, these men were content, and they gave a positive answer, an answer only, I guess you say, that can be given by faith. Trusting God was in control of their, not only their life, but also in their future. You know, before we move on to the next point, I do want you to notice that they did not ask for a miracle. I thought about that. I thought I might have been the first one to say, God, deliver me. Please get me out of here. They didn't ask God for that. They didn't ask for a miracle. As a matter of fact, they didn't even expect a miracle. That's why they said that in verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king. If God doesn't want to deliver us, that doesn't mean he's weak. It doesn't mean he's powerless. It means that's just not his choice. You see, these men didn't ask for a miracle. They didn't expect a miracle. They just remained faithful to God. Now that's faith, living by faith. You see, what is faith? Trusting. Putting everything. You know, one person said putting all your eggs in one basket. Putting everything into God's hands and trusting him. See, that's faith. Trusting God with everything. This morning, I want to challenge you to live by faith. If you have trusted God or with your salvation, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, you're saved. That is settled. That is secure. But this morning, I want to encourage you to live by faith. Whether it's with your career, with your personal situations, with your family or friends, or your spiritual life, live by faith. Trust that God is in control. Trust that God will work. And trust that if God has allowed something in your life that is for a reason, that he's wise, that he's all-knowing, and that he has allowed this and that he's going to work through it and bless you in some way. You see, that's what these men did. They put their faith in God. Now, here's our third thought here this morning, and that's they had faith to stand before the fire. This is what it comes down to. You know, they had faith to stand out there on the field, faith to stand in the courtroom before the king, and now they have faith to stand in the fire or before the fiery furnace. Verse 19, it says there, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was mad. It says there, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Has anyone been so mad? Maybe I'll say it this way. Has anyone been so mad at you, you could see how mad they were? I mean, their face just changed. I mean, you know they were mad. You just stayed away. This king was furious. You know, he wasn't looking for a response. He expected these young men just to fall down before him. And then when they responded by faith, that just enraged him. And the Bible tells us there, it will continue on. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments. They were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now here we have the situation. He's furious. He's mad. These guys are taking a stand of faith. And so he says, that's it. I'm going to throw you into that fiery furnace. Now these furnaces were huge, shaped like ovens. Many archaeologists have uncovered many different furnaces. I don't know if they've ever uncovered this one, but they've uncovered many that were like this one. They had openings that were about 12 to 15 feet high. They were kind of like a blast furnace. And they also had an opening on the top, and many of them had like walkways or catwalks you could walk over and look in. And that's basically what they were like. And they had sections where you can view or you know what was going on the inside. Now the Bible tells us that this furnace, under the orders of Nebuchadnezzar, was made 7 times hotter than usual. Basically, 7 times hotter than necessary. There's no need for this. But he was just so mad and so irate and so furious that he ordered this to be done. And the Bible tells us that they were rapidly judged, sentenced, and prepared for execution. I guarantee you, when these men woke up that morning, they didn't plan on being thrown into a fiery furnace. That's how fast trials can come into our life. They woke up, they were leaders in Babylon. You know, it gives their clothing there. Most historians agree that that's given, and it indicates their position in Babylon, their leadership. They were leaders in the nation. I imagine they woke up and they're there at that dedication thinking, well, we'll start another day and continue on our business. By the end of the day, their faith had been challenged, their faith had been tested. I guess you could say their world had turned upside down. And instead of spending the night at the hotel that they were staying in, they were staying in a fiery furnace, or they were being cast into a fiery furnace. You see, that's how fast trials can come into our life. That's why it's best for us to walk with God. So when the trial does come, we're prepared. We're ready. I don't know about you, but God hasn't given me a list of trials that are in my life. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know when it's going to happen. You see, that's not for us to know. I think God wants us just to be faithful and be prepared by looking to Him. So we're ready when the trial does come. And the Bible says these men were thrown into that fiery furnace. And there, evidently, the king had a front row seat because it says he rose up as he's looking inside there. So he had a front row seat as he's trying to see what's going on. And there, the Bible tells us, we'll get back to our passage there. It says there in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? He answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, this morning, as we get into this last section, just some thoughts real quick. Not only did they go into the fire unharmed, but they went through the fire unharmed. Nebuchadnezzar's sitting there watching, and he's looking, and you know, he could do math, at least simple math, one plus one. And he looked and says, I could just see him kind of rubbing his eyes and squinting and looking through the flames. Not only does he see him walking around, but he says, there's one, two, three, wait, there's a fourth. Who's that fourth fellow in there? And he immediately calls out to verify that we only threw three in. Who's this fourth one? And the Bible tells us, and we'll talk about this here in a minute, that in his mind, this fourth one appeared as the Son of God. You see, the Bible gives us what Nebuchadnezzar saw, and it gives us his words and what he thought. You know, there are many who have read this and immediately say, nah, that's not true. That's just, that couldn't have happened. What did Nebuchadnezzar know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? What does he know about the Messiah? You know, I think the problem, or maybe the question that should be asked, is what did Daniel know of the Son of God? Keep in mind, the vision had already been given to Nebuchadnezzar. And in that vision, the kingdoms would rise up. We find that in Daniel chapter 2. And remember who would be the last one to come? The Son of Man would be the one to come. What does Mark, the book of Mark, call Jesus Christ? The Son of Man. That's the name he even referred to, the title he referred to himself. Yes, I believe that refers to his humanity, but I also believe it's in reference to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 2. The Son of Man would be the one that would come, that would destroy those kingdoms, and that would establish his throne for eternity, or the millennial reign on earth. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had already been told all this. How much he really understood and believed, he didn't have as much information as we do, obviously. He didn't have the Gospels or the Revelation. But I imagine he understood that there was one to come that would establish his kingdom. And he was the Son of Man, or I'm sure Daniel probably explained a little bit more detail to him who he was. Now, Daniel was a devout Jew. Daniel loved the Lord. Daniel searched the Scriptures, prayed to God three times a day. I don't think it's unreasonable that Daniel would talk about this coming Messiah, especially when he told King Nebuchadnezzar about the kingdom and what was to occur. You see, this morning, we do know a few thoughts here. The king would never be the same after this event. It would lead into the next chapter where he would be humbled, and at the end, he would give glory and honor to God alone. You see, the king would never be the same. And these men, you think about this, they were safe in that fire because God was with them. That's what it comes down to. They were safe because God was with them. You see, they put their faith in God, and God did not forsake them. God did not leave them. You know, if God would have called them home in that fire, if God would have taken them into eternity, I imagine it would have been painless. I imagine God would have just taken them on home. And they would have been just as safe in eternity, probably safer, just as safe there as they were in that fire, because they put their faith in God, and God was with them. God blessed them. You know, what's also interesting is they did not come out of that fire furnace until King Nebuchadnezzar called for them. And you say, well, why is that? Here's my thought on that. There was no need to. They were safe. They were walking around, moving. And when they came out, the Bible makes it clear nothing, not even a hair on their head was singed. There was no pain. There was no troubles. There was no suffering. God was protecting them. They didn't need to come out. They were fine. You see, this morning, let that sink into your heart a little bit. Wherever God has placed you, or whatever God has allowed in your life, put your faith in Him. It's better to be there than anywhere else without God's direction, or without God's help, or without God's presence, or without God's assistance. It's best to be where God wants you. And it may be in the middle of a trial. It may be in the middle of a hardship. But if that's God's choice, God will take you through that and bless you and guide you and direct you. Put your faith in God. You know, this morning in closing, these men stood by faith. You know, they were not privileged to know the end from the beginning. We need to remember that. They had no more knowledge of the future than we do. They didn't know how their life would end. They didn't know when their life would end. They simply went by faith. They were unsure, or I guess you could say uncertain of the future. But that didn't affect their relationship with God. They lived by faith. They were troubled. But that didn't change their worship. They didn't worship a false God. They didn't forsake God. They remained faithful to God. They lived by faith. They were unaware of God's plan for their life. You know, when you think about all these practical thoughts, we fall into the same categories. They were unaware of God's plan for their life. But they went by faith. They lived by faith. You see, that's what faith is, trusting God no matter what the situation is. Now, this morning, you may not be in a trial right now, but the faith is the same. Trust God. Look to Him and live for Him. You see, that's what these men did. They simply trusted the Lord. You know, the two thoughts I'll leave you with in closing is first for salvation. I hope and pray everyone here is saved this morning. But salvation is by grace and through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 makes that very clear. Trusting God. That's what it is. Faith in God. I want to challenge you to examine your hearts. Make sure you're saved. If you're not saved, that'll take care of it. Putting your faith in God. Trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. And then afterwards, the second thought is to those that are saved. We must live by faith. You know, it says that in Hebrews 10, the just shall live by faith. We must live by faith every day. Whether it's a big trial or whether there's no trial, we must put our faith in God and trust that God will guide, direct, protect, and so forth, and all the things that He has promised to do for us. You know, I do believe if we are continue to live by faith, we'll find that God is faithful, just like these three men did. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings. I thank You for those that are here and for this testimony of these three young men. I pray, Lord, that You'll encourage us from Your word. I pray this week as we go out that You'll just challenge our hearts. And Lord, I pray that if we just struggle with faith, that we'll just put our trust in You. We ask